I do want to take you to a familiar place this morning. For those of you that have been saved for any period of time, you're going to know this verse. But the Apostle Paul, with his mighty pen, he wrote to the church that was at Rome, and he wrote these words: I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is, I like how he says this, it's your reasonable service. Because of all that God has done for you, it's just your reasonable service. It's just reasonable that you would present yourself to Him. But he goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Though I quoted it for you, I want you to see it with your own eyeballs. So let's turn there now. It's Romans chapter 12. Very familiar passage. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and verses 2. Paul said, I beseech, which means I beg, I implore, I wrestle with you to hear what I'm saying. I beseech you therefore, brethren. He said, therefore, anytime you see the word therefore, you have to consider the wherefore. And Paul's basically saying here, because of all the things I've just said in the first 11 chapters, let me implore you. And of course, we don't have time this morning to go back and see what he said in the first 11 chapters, but he's culminating that now, saying, look, based on everything I just said in the first 11 chapters, which are heavy with doctrine, and particularly salvation and justification and sanctification, he said, let me implore you to present your body a living sacrifice. It's your reasonable service. And we're familiar with that passage, but I want us to focus more on verse number 2 today, and even a particular phrase in verse 2. Again, we're very familiar, and I've heard many sermons about this phrase, be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. And that's not the message today, but I must say this, if we're not to be conformed to this world, we therefore have to know what this world is. And so we'll touch on that briefly today, although I'm not preaching against the world. But I do want to talk this morning about this. How, when he says, be not conformed to this world, he says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, as many sermons as I have heard and even preached myself about be not conformed to this world. He that's a friend of the world is not a friend of the Father, and things like that. That's not the message today. Today I want to talk about this topic, flip your mind. Not flip your lid, but flip your mind. You say you want us to go crazy? Well, sometimes I'm sure we feel like we're going crazy. I'm sure a pastor felt like he was going crazy this past week as all the events leading up to the wedding. And by the way, pray for preacher that he's able to refill his wallet. Because that wedding, I'm sure, emptied it out for him. I want to talk today about flip your mind. I'll start with this story. When I first moved back to the States from Australia, Sydney, Australia, spent 5 years there with my wife and our newborn son at that time. He was only a year when we came here. I had a friend in the States that was kind of a liaison for me because I knew as we moved back to the States, I would need a place to live. I would need something to do to put some food on the table, some kind of a job or something. So I had a friend here by the name of Daryl Moore who said, well, if you're going to move back, we decided to move back to the Hammond area where we graduated from Bible college. He said, I'll have a place for you that you can live in, at least temporarily, get you started. And I'll even get some work lined up for you. So when you get here, you can just step right into it. I said, oh, that'd be wonderful. So this first job that I had, we came, of course, we flew from Sydney, Australia, that 24-hour flight. Did you hear me? 24 hours on a plane. It's a long flight. And we landed at O'Hare Airport in Chicago, and some folks picked us up in a van. We threw our suitcases and everything in the van and loaded up Caleb in a car seat, and we drove. Seemed like an eternity. It's only an hour and a half from the airport to where we were going to stay, but we finally arrived at this place where we were going to be staying, and at least I think we stayed there 7 weeks before we finally found a place that we wanted to be in. But first job. That's what I'm getting at. So this job, I worked for a man who was in the church there, and his business was buying old houses and fixing them up, and you've probably heard this term, and flipping them. Or turning, he'd fix them up, buy an old dilapidated house, fix it up, and then turn around and sell it for profit. Sometimes, well, many times in this instance, he wouldn't flip the house or sell it. He would keep it as a rental property. That's where I come in. He hired me to be his property manager, and so I would travel through the week. I would travel from house to house. He would have several houses under contract at the same time. He had different work crews, and they'd be working on the houses, so I would go along and inspect the work, make sure everything was coming along okay, make sure the workers weren't taking too many shortcuts, make sure that everything was up to code and safe and all that kind of stuff. And also, once the houses were complete, I would put ads in the paper to advertise house for rent. And then I would meet with the prospective renter and interview them, and we'd fill out an application. And if it was all go, we'd sign the lease, and I'd collect their money. And sometimes I even had to go door to door and collect people's rent. That wasn't the fun part, but that was a necessary part of the job. So all that to say this, I was amazed. He would say, I want you to go over to such and such house and see what you think. So I'd get in my car and I'd drive to the address and I'd pull up in front of this house and I would just sit there and think, you have got to be kidding. You purchased that house? I mean, windows burst, busted out, door hanging on the hinges, the roof peeling, paint is, I mean, you can't even put into words. It's just really a shabby shack of a house. So, and, I'd make a list of some things that needed, the first few things we'd start on immediately and get that to the construction workers. And lo and behold, they'd start working on that thing. And week after week, I could drive back to that house and I'd see the progress. And it just boggled my mind. It was amazing. Of course, I'll fast forward to the end of a project, and you go to the house, the before and after, just like, is this the same house? Is this possible that this is the same house I first drove up in front of and said, you've got to be kidding? It was amazing the change that took place from what I first saw to how it looked now, the completed project. New carpet, new paint, new roof, new windows, new siding. Everything's new, just had to gut it out and just start from scratch, basically, and rebuild, essentially, that house from the bottom up. And it was amazing how it looked. Some of those homes, even though they were in bad areas, I'd go in that house to inspect the final product before the real inspectors came from the county to give it the A-OK to be inhabited. I go in there and inspect, check the fire alarms, different things, and just look at this house and say, boy, I wouldn't mind living in this house. Really nice. And chandeliers, I mean, they just really, really did a great job. The house was completely changed. Amazing. Well, as I thought about this text this morning and prepared for this, by the way, this is the message that I was going to preach on Mother's Day, and the Lord changed it. So some of you remember me mentioning I was going to preach about the Bible and our mind, etc. But this is it. I thought to myself, as we preach a simple message, I don't want to sound like a doting mother telling the child to eat your veggies, eat your vegetables, eat your vegetables. It's a simple message. But I thought of this. The Lord spoke to my heart through this passage only just recently. And I've been saved for 37 years. I've been at this for a while. And something so simple and so basic that the Lord would rattle my cage a little bit. I thought, you know what? I bet we all come to that place to where we need reminding. We need a refresher. We need to hit the reset button on some things that are very basic in the Christian life. And hence, we talked this morning about Christianity 101, the Bible. And so I want to preach about the Bible here a little bit this morning. So if you'll keep that image in your mind of that old broken down house and then the finished product after it was renovated, after it was rebuilt, and how beautiful at the end it is now from what it was at the beginning. That's the picture I want us to have in our mind as we consider verse 2, if you look at it again with me. Paul said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed," how? "By the renewing of your mind." So I want us to talk this morning about this transformation, just like that house was transformed before my eyes over a period of some months. I want us to be transformed this morning. I want us to be able to leave the church house this morning and say, well, I might not be transformed yet this morning, but I want to be transformed in the next days and weeks and months, and certainly years, as I continue on my journey. So I emphasize the transformation. Just like that house was transformed, that crew had to go into that old, broken down house, tear out the drywall. They have a word for this. They call it gutting the house. Tear out all the drywall right down to the studs, rip out the old insulation, tear off the ceiling, get rid of the doors and the windows, and all you have left is a shell. And then you start the rebuilding process, which is going to lead to a transformation in that home. Start to put up new drywall. Tape and paint that drywall. Put drywall on the ceiling, new ceiling, and tape it and paint it. Put the mud on it and get it painted. Hang new doors, new doorknobs, new hardware. Put new windows in the building and a new roof on top. Everything's new. New sink, new countertops, new cabinets, everything. Everything's new. And it transforms that house. That's the picture I want us to have in our mind this morning as we emphasize this transformation. It's gutting out the old. It's tearing out the old and putting in the new. That word transformation is a Greek word where we get our word metamorphosis. Just like a butterfly, a beautiful butterfly, started as a caterpillar and it changed. It transformed and became a beautiful butterfly. That was the metamorphosis that took place. That was the transformation. That's another word picture that we need to have in our minds. But as often as I had read that verse and as many sermons as I've heard from those verses and as many sermons as I preach myself from those verses, I never stopped to talk about the word or never stopped to think about the word renewing. And this is how it relates to the story of the house. The word renewing in the text there is the word renovate. Renovate. If we could not try to do harm to the scripture, but if Paul said, look, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renovation of your mind, is what Paul's basically saying. You need to have a renovation in your mind. And boy, I read that. The more I thought about it, the more I thought about those words and what it meant, the more convinced I became that I needed a renovation in my mind. Wait a minute. You've been a Christian for 37 years. I still needed renovation. I began to think about this. I said, wait a minute. I've been a Christian for a long time. It just goes to prove we never arrive. We never get to where we need to be. We never will until we see our blessed Lord face to face. Man, God began to deal with me and spoke to me through that verse and said, look, you need a renovation in your mind. But Lord, I read the Bible. Lord, I pray. Lord, I go to church. Lord, I go out visiting. Lord, I seem to do the thing. I give. I seem to do all the things I'm supposed to do, to be doing. But in your mind, he said, you need to have a change in your mind. Well, I began to mull that over, begin to think about it and said, yeah, we all Christians need to be renovated in their mind. They need to be transformed. Why is that? Because we live in a sinful world. And I begin to acknowledge, you know what? My thinking. Sometimes I have stinking thinking. Sometimes I have bad thinking. I don't mean bad thoughts. I don't think on evil things. I just mean we live in a sinful world. We're bombarded by messages on the outside coming in our way. We watch television. We hear radio. We see billboards. We read advertisements in the magazine. All of this bombarding and going into our brain. It affects us. You may not want to acknowledge that or admit it, but it affects us. And it affects how we think. You know, when I first became a Christian, I experienced some of this transformation because in my thinking, I became a Christian. I got saved at age 23. So for 23 years, I was a child of the devil, living in his kingdom, listening to his messages, listening to his music, doing what he wanted me to do. And guess what? I never acknowledged that that's what I was doing. But when you're not saved, you're by default a child of the devil. And so then I got saved. And I began to sit under the preaching of a man named Barry Darnell, Emmanuel Baptist Church, Morgantown, West Virginia. I began to hear things I've never heard before in my life. I remember one particular decision I made very early in my Christian life. It was probably just days or weeks as a Christian. I heard Brother Darnell preaching some things I'd never heard in my life. I was sitting there thinking, what's that all about? What's he saying that for? Why is he preaching on that? You know what he was preaching on? Worldly rock music. Well, I had 200 albums at my house. I was proud of my music collection. I grew up in the era of what we would call now classic rock. Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, not that metal stuff, but just what they call classic rock. And I had all those albums in a crate, 200 of them. And boy, when I would want to put an album on my record player, and I had a really expensive music system, you know, I was so pedantic about it, put the record on there and start it spinning. Then it had this little sponge thing that you'd squirt a little bit of liquid on there, and you'd put that on the spinning record, and it would clean the grooves and get any dust and dirt off that record before we put the needle off the turntable onto the record. And it was just, you know, I was just over the top with that. I was just too much. But I like my music. And here's this preacher telling me how bad it was. And so, after a service, I said, Brother Darnell, could I meet with you sometime? I want to ask you a question. Yeah, sure. So we sat in the office when the time came, and I said, I'm having a hard time with this music thing. I said, I have a lot of that music at my house. I listen to it. I mean, I've listened to it for years. That's what I like. What's wrong with it? He just said this. He didn't get his Bible out. He didn't give me 1.1234 on here's the evils of music, and he didn't talk about syncopation and beats and beats that originated with voodoo tribes. He didn't get into any of that. He just said this. When I said, what's wrong with it? He looked at me and said, what's right with it? And he said, think about the people's lifestyle who produce that music. Who are they worshiping? He just said just a few things. What I would do, Kelly, is just give it some time and see how God deals in your heart with it. It was just a matter of days that I went and I destroyed all of that 200 albums. I destroyed all of them. And I sold my music system. All that to say this, I had to have a transformation in my mind. I had this old way of thinking that came from the world system. Now I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I left the kingdom of darkness and stepped into the kingdom of light. And as a child in the kingdom of light, I have to be trans, I have to not be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of my mind. So yeah, I had to renew, I had to renovate my mind. There were some things I needed to change. There were some ways I used to think, well, that's not so bad, or it's okay if somebody wants to be gay. That's their decision. Just as long as they don't try to push it on me, that's fine if they want to do like that. Well, guess what? I don't think that way anymore. I don't think that way anymore. Why? Because I've had a renewing of my mind. I've learned the truth. I've learned what God's Word says. And I had to be renovated in my mind. I used to think things like, well, it doesn't hurt to drink a little alcohol as long as you don't go overboard, as long as you don't hurt somebody else, as long as you blah, blah, blah. You know the arguments that people give. As long as you can handle it. Well, I don't think that way anymore. Why? Because I'm better than anyone else? No. I just have been renovated in my mind. And I continue to be renovated. And I'm convinced this morning that there are folks sitting here under the sound of my voice that you too need to be renovated in your mind. You need to change some of that stinking thinking. Really now. And I hope that you'll be honest with yourself and honest with God as we continue in the message. Look, we are influenced by this world. And we must have a renovation. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:59, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. And that's kind of what I did a few weeks ago. As God was dealing with me in that verse, I said to myself, I thought on my ways and I turned my feet unto God's testimonies or His word. And that's what we need. That's what we need so bad. No wonder the prophet Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? When he says the heart is deceitful, what he's really saying there is the mind is crooked. Our minds are crooked because of all we put in it from out there. Desperately wicked means desperately sick. And friends, we need renovating. We need a renovation. We need to be transformed in our mind by the renewing of our mind, a renovation. Now, why is that? And here's the message. I'm going to give you some M's, several M's this morning. Some M's on why and some M's on how. Everything's M. Why do we need this renovation? I think I've kind of laid a good groundwork already because we're infiltrated by this world. We live in this world. We live in a sinful world. And we have all this input, all this stuff coming at us on a daily basis. But just to lay the argument, why do we need this renovation? Why should I be renewed in my mind? Well, the first reason is this, because of the media. The media. I'm not talking about television reporters. I'm just talking about media in general, whether it's television, radio, the printed page. Media. What do you watch? What do you listen to? And what do you read? What are you putting in your mind? Is it God-honoring or is it garbage? We must be careful about that. And we're being programmed all the time that we should think this and believe this and do this, and this is what's best for you, and all of those things that the world says is antichrist. It's the spirit of this world is against God. And it feeds us daily. Boy, I was reminding myself when God was dealing with me about this, I thought, yeah, all the stuff for all these years that come into my mind, whether it's a movie or a song or a billboard or an article that I've read or all the junk I read, even just reading news. Good grief, it's all bad news. Why do we put that stuff in our mind? Seems like there's something about us. We'll see something about, I see these crazy news articles on my phone. I don't read them most of the time, but those crazy ones like this week, lady leaves her children in a hot car on purpose so they would die. I'm like, what? What is it? What in the world's going on? Now, as tempting as it was to read about that, I just refused to read it. I don't want to read that. I don't want to put that in my mind. Why? Because I have a hard enough time with all the stuff that the world throws at us constantly. Do you understand that you're being bombarded by the world's message and the world's philosophies? This is coming at us all the time. We're like, Christians are like fish swimming up the stream. Everything's coming this way and we're trying to swim against the current. That's how it is living the Christian life. We need to be renovated. Oh, how badly we need it. So the media, it bombards us day and night. It is relentless. Just doesn't let up. A second reason why we need this renovation in our minds is because of the masses. When I speak of the masses, I mean just people telling us and trying to convince us with their unbiblical opinions. It could be as simple as this. Oh, well, just follow your heart. That's the worst thing you could ever do. But that's what the world says. Follow your heart. Whatever feels good, do it. Unbiblical messages coming from the masses. People telling us and convincing us with their opinions that are unbiblical. That's why we need to be in this book. It's no wonder. Again, Paul said it. He said that He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. No wonder he said that. He knew what we would face. It's no wonder that he said in another place that we should, he said we should think on these things. And what were those things? Things that were honest and pure and good and right, truth, etc. He said, I want you to think on these things. Don't think on the junk. Get your mind renovated. So we need a renovation because of the media that bombards us day and night relentlessly. We need to be renovated because of the mass of people, whether it's your friends or your family or your coworkers, telling you things. And listen, in a moment of weakness, it's easy to listen to that. If you've had a heartache or a struggle, your husband left you, your wife left you, you feel like you're crushed, you feel like you're defeated, you feel like you're in a place of weakness, that's when it's easy to listen to someone who will just be nice to you and tell you sweet things. But be careful, because those sweet things might be completely against Scripture. So we have people telling us. And then thirdly, messages. So media, masses. This is similar to that one. Messages. Not just from people, but from this world. Paul said this elsewhere. He said in Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, not God, men, after the rudiments of this world and not after Christ. He said, I want you to be careful. Beware. There's going to be, as you live in this world, there are going to be people that try to convince you, try to press upon you their philosophies and the rudiments of this world. What's that word rudiment mean? It's just talking about an arrangement or a proposition of the world. Now, before we go further, I want to define the world a little bit. And I see we're fighting the clock already. Let me just read this to you. What is the world? And this isn't the message today, but we have to understand what the world is if we're going to not be conformed to it. What is the world? It's the mass of unrenewed men. Unregenerate. Unrenewed men as distinguished from the people of God. It is Satan's kingdom. It has laws and maxims. It has manners and customs. And its manners and customs are determined by its reigning spirit. It has its consummation or its end, which is perdition. To be inwardly like men of the world in the governing principle of our lives, that's what it is to be conformed to the world. It's to be inwardly like the people of the world, which are governed by the principles of the world. It's to have a worldly spirit, a spirit that is occupied with worldly things, earthly things. To be so ruled by the world's maxims that the question is not what is right or wrong, but what is the custom of society? What is the public sentiment? That's just a short, small definition of what the world is. When we talk about the world, we're not talking about the earth, the planet. We're talking about the system of how this world operates. It's amazing to me how this world, how this, our United States, are fighting against President Trump so hard. They hate him with a passion. I'm not saying yes or no, he's doing a good job or a bad job. I'm just neutral on that. But what I'm saying is you see how they are just, they're just angry. They're ticked off that Hillary lost. They are peeved. They want revenge. And they're just fighting. And the media is going crazy. And it's nuts, all that's going on. Well, that's the world system. It's revenge. It's hate. It's antichrist. It's hurt somebody. It's do what you got to do to get to the top. Doesn't matter who you step on. Just do what you got to do what you need to do. It doesn't matter if it hurts anyone. That's the world. It's the world system. Well, let me move on here. So that's why we need this renewing of the mind. The media, the masses, the messages that come at us. Well, let's talk about how. If we look at our text there again in Romans chapter 12, Paul tells us clearly. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That's what we need. And we looked at why we needed it, but he says, here's how you do it. Renew your mind. In Sunday school or on bus routes, we sing this little song. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Why? There's been a great change since I've been born again. A great change since I've been born again. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. Why? There's been a great change since I've been born again. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. Why? Great change, a renewing of my mind, a renewing of my thinking. Paul said, look, this transformation will take place by the renewing of your mind. And friend, there's only one way. And here's the message. As we have a few, just maybe 10, 15 minutes here, we'll close. Here's the message. How do you renew your mind? And this is how God dealt with me a few weeks ago. How do you renew your mind? By getting in His Word. It's the only way. You can't go to a seminar. You can't listen to a DVD or watch a DVD. You can't listen to a CD. You can't have someone explain it to you. You have to get in God's Word. It's the only way. Now, I don't want to be mean to you this morning. I never want to be mean, but listen, I said it this way recently. Your little Baptist bread isn't going to cut it. That, I like Baptist bread, I use it, but it's not my total sum of my Bible reading. Because only a few verses. And here I am, say for 37 years, I thought because I read 3 or 4 or 5 chapters a day that I caught the big one. That I killed the big one. And God said, wait a minute, son. Now, someone starting out needs to read a few verses or a chapter. But that being saved 37 years, I need to move beyond that. Amen. I need to move beyond that. But God told me, this is my testimony. I'm not trying to discourage you or say, well, if you're only reading a little bit, that's shame on you. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying how God dealt with me as an individual. And He'll deal with you as an individual. But He said, Kelly Choma, your 3, 4, or 5 chapters a day isn't going to cut it. It's not going to renew your mind. You need to get in my Word, and you need to study it, and you need to learn it, and you need to memorize it, and you need to live it in order to be transformed, get that mind renewed, have that renovation. All the Christians in our country, so-called Christians, with their watered-down Bibles, going around, Jesus loves you. Listen, we need to know this book. We need to spend time in this book. I said it's Christianity 101, yeah. As a believer, you need to read your Bible and you need to pray. You need to come to church faithfully. This is all Christianity 101. There's only about 5 things that you really should be doing as a Christian. Basic things. Read your Bible. Pray, give your tithes, give your offerings, be a witness, be faithful in church, love God, love your family. We better practice that other thing again. Read your Bible and pray! Oh, there we go. Good, okay. I got you back with me. Amen. Yeah, it's Christianity 101. Now look, I don't want to be hard on you this morning. And I don't want to be like a doting mother saying, eat your vegetables and all that. But listen, this is basic Christianity. Let's live it. Let's live it. And let's get our minds transformed. Let's get our minds out of the gutter. Let's get our minds onto God and the things of God. Man, LeBron James shooting percentage. We can tell you who's on the starting lineup for the Indians. We can tell you this, that, and the other, what's happening in the racing world and NASCAR. We can quote by memory all kinds of junk that don't matter. We can't even quote one little simple Bible verse. God, help us. Help us, God, help us. What kind of Christianity are we living? I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be hard on you, but listen, we need to be transformed up here. The psalmist said, wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way, cleanse his mind? by taking heed thereto according to thy word. The only way you're going to get cleaned up on the inside is right here. This is your spiritual shower. We need to take in more scripture. Your little one or two or three verses a day, that's fine. And if you're newly saved, you've got to start somewhere. And so don't feel bad about what I'm saying to you this morning. But listen to me. If you've been saved 5, 10, 15, 20 years, like me, 37 years, I just say, oh, Lord, help me. I feel ashamed of myself. I need to read more Bible. And I had a pastor one time. I admired him for this. It never tweaked in my mind why he did this until I had this study. This preacher, didn't matter where you saw him, he had two things in his hand: his Bible and his planner. Now planners, that kind of dates me there. You know, like we used to carry these things called Franklin planners, like a day planner, a calendar. Because he would look at his calendar, he'd write messages in his planner, he'd write down sermon ideas, but he always had his Bible and his planner, two things. It didn't matter if he was at the mall, at a restaurant, sporting event, where he always had his Bible with him. If he didn't have his whole Bible, he at least had his New Testament, he carried it in his back pocket. And I remember thinking, well, you know, you can't take your Bible everywhere.
Why not?
Why not? Folks, we need to get more scripture into our brains. Are you starting to get at what I'm saying? Get what I'm saying? Is it making sense? We need more scripture in our brains. So firstly, it's with a mass of scripture. Not a little bit of scripture, but a mass of scripture. You think about this. You watch television how many hours a night? We'll sit down and watch the Cavs lose, play. And yeah, well, they did win one. They got to give them that. We'll go to a ball game and sit there for hours and think nothing of it. God says, can't you just sit down with me for 30 minutes or so and read my word? Can't you do that? We need a mass of scripture going into our head, because all day long, advertising, messages, media, going in our mind. Hey, this one. Have you heard the latest? It's not about the homosexuals anymore. It's about being gender fluid. Give me a break. Sometimes I'm a guy and sometimes I'm a girl. It's gender fluid. Depending on how I feel that day, I'll be that one. My Bible says God created them male and female. God's not confused. Come on now, help us. I gotta watch out for rabbit trails. Okay, so a mass of scripture. Man, we need to pour the Bible in, because we watch so much television, listen to so much news, so much Rush Limbaugh, so much whatever. It's going in all the time. And sometimes that stuff is anti-Bible. It's unbiblical. And if you're not careful, it will affect how you think. Let's move on. Secondly, we need to memorize scripture. It's not enough just to read it. We must memorize it. I'll tell you a story about that in a minute. I watched a video this week that really touched my heart, and I'll share it with you in a minute. But let me give you these verses. Memorize scripture. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid where? In mine heart, or mind, we could say, that I might not sin against thee. Then Paul in Colossians 3:16 said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Richly. Not a little bit. Richly. I don't know. My wife sent me a video this week. I don't know where she saw it at, but it was so good. And I don't know the background of it. I just saw this short little clip. Obviously, the man speaking was a pastor or some kind of a church leader. He had just come back from a trip to China, where he met with a group of Chinese underground church leaders. Now, you do know that in China, you can't just have a church. It's a communist country, and they're anti-Christian, and they don't like the Christian movement taking place. I heard another story that said the Christianity in China is growing by thousands each day. Thousands and thousands are converting to Christianity in China. God's really doing a work in China. The government sees this, and they're trying to slow it down. They're trying to stop it. They're trying to shut it down. They're actually taking steeples off of church buildings. They're doing all kind of anything they can do to try to, well, when I say church buildings, the only church buildings they have are government churches. You can't just have your own church unless it's sanctioned by the government. But anyway, so this man was there from the States. He went over to China and he's meeting with these church leaders. He said on the video that these church leaders traveled, some of them traveled 13 hours by train to get to the meeting. Now put that in your head for a second. We'll come back to that. 13 hours they traveled by train to get to this meeting, and there was only 20 in the meeting. He said, well, in China, when you teach, you start at 8 in the morning, you teach until 5 at night. You just teach all day long. And they just soak it up and eat it up. You don't even have to take a break. It's like, you just go. But after the teaching and at the end of the day, they were just having an informal time and he was talking to some of the Christians. He said, of you church leaders here, he said, how many of you have been in jail or prison because of your faith? He said, out of those 20 people, 18 raised their hand. Yes, we've been in prison because of our faith. He said, okay. He said, he asked some other question, but I want to get to the point here. Then later he said, well, let's get our Bibles out. I want to turn to 1 Peter, blah, blah, blah. He gave the chapter in reference. And he said he noticed a couple of the people were handing their Bibles to others, and he thought that's strange. When he said the text, they didn't turn to it. They handed the Bible to someone else. But he said, then I noticed as we read the text, I looked up, and the people that had handed their Bibles away, they were standing there quoting what I was reading. They were just quoting it from memory. And he said, I was astonished by that. So afterwards, he talked to one lady in particular, and he said to her, I was amazed that you gave your Bible to someone else who maybe didn't really know the passage, but you quoted the whole chapter from memory. She said, oh yes, I've got several chapters memorized. He said, how did you do that? She goes, oh, when I was in prison. You have a lot of time on your hands when you're in prison. And she said, so we just used the time to memorize scripture. He said, yeah, but the Bible's outlawed in here in China, so if you were in a government prison or jail, and they knew you had a Bible, they would confiscate it. She said, oh yeah, they confiscated our Bibles. Yeah, but how'd you memorize it then? She said, well, our friends or family would come into the jail to visit, and they would bring in a little piece of paper that had a verse on it. And we would memorize that verse. One by one. Each time they'd come, they'd give us the next verse. He said, yeah, but when they saw you had the paper, then they would confiscate that too. She said, yes, exactly. And that's why we had to memorize it quickly. He's like, oh boy. And he said, I was feeling conviction just by this lady's testimony. Then he said this. At the close of the meeting, he said to that group, he said, is there anything that we in America can pray for you? And one of the leaders, I've got to say this. Let me back up 1 second before I tell you that. He said, out of those 20 people, he said, now how many would you say, you 20 leaders here, how many are under you, if you added up all your congregations, et cetera, how many do you oversee? He said, well, you could see them talking, and they were calculating, and he said, it took them a few minutes, and finally they come up and said, 20 million. 20 million Christians are represented by these 20 individuals. Keep in mind, there's 1.6 billion in China. So 20 million is only a fraction, but that's a lot of people. And it's all underground. You have to meet secretly in homes, etc. Anyway, so he said, how can I pray for you? And they said this, in America you have such freedom you can have a church, you can go to a church building, we can't do that. And you seem to have freedoms and this, that, and the other. And so the specific request was this, they said, can you pray that we could be like you? And he stopped in his tracks and he said, he began to cry. He said, you don't want to be like us. You folks, You rode a train for 13 hours to come to this meeting. Americans won't drive an hour to go to a good church. You sat here all day from 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 at night listening to the precious Word of God. And Christians in America, they look at their watch when it gets around noon. 12:30, they want to know, when's it going to end, preacher? We're getting hungry. You folks sat here all day on a wooden bench. You don't want to be like us. You don't want to be like us. Isn't that amazing? Of course, I told that to say this. Those folks memorize Scripture. I hope we never see in our lifetime in America where they come and take our Bibles away. Sometimes you'd think we're almost there because of how they fight it. How everything's against Jesus and against the Bible. We can't. Though you see that in the news too. Somebody said something about Jesus at a school. Oh, now they're in trouble because they just said the name Jesus. Crazy. But we need to take in masses of Scripture. Read it in the morning. Read it at lunchtime on your break. Read it in the evening before you go to bed. Take it in. Take it in. Much Scripture. We need to memorize the Scripture. Thirdly, we must meditate on Scripture. The best illustration I've ever heard about meditating on Scripture was from an old preacher who compared it to a cow, and here's the words, chewing its cud. Apparently, cows have more than one stomach and they eat grass and whatever, then later they regurgitate it back up into their mouth and they chew it again. And they swallow it down, then later they come bring it back up again and they chew it some more. You know, that's just a beautiful picture, as gross as it may sound. It sounds kind of nasty, but that's a beautiful picture on what we ought to do with the Bible. We read some Scripture, and then we go on about our day, and then later in the day we should bring that verse back to memory and say, boy, that verse I read this morning, that was so good. It said this, and it said that, and oh, I wonder what that meant. We just begin meditating on it. Lord, teach me that verse. What did you mean by that verse? Help me to understand that verse, and more importantly, help me to put that verse into practice in my life. And we regurgitate it and think about it again. And again and again, meditating on Scripture. Let me give you these verses. Psalm 1 verse 2 says, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Psalm 119:15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. 119:23, Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Verse 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved.
Do you love your Bible?
I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Mine eyes prevent the night watches. That means basically I can't sleep at night, that I might meditate in thy word. Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Don't let it leave your mouth. Talk about it. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Back to the psalmist. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And then I have more understanding than all my teachers. For thy testimonies, these are his testimonies, thy testimonies are my meditation. So, how do we have this renewal of mind? How do we change the thinking stinking? How do we renovate our brain? We must take in masses of Scripture, lots of Bible. We must memorize it. We must meditate on it. And lastly, we must manifest it. What do I mean by manifest? I mean to demonstrate it. Live it out. Oh, the Bible says I should do this, then I'm going to do it. Oh, the Bible says I should not do that, then I will not do that. Live out what you learn. Manifest it in your life. Demonstrate. Again, Joshua said, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Here's why. That thou mayest observe to do. Do it. Learn it. Read it. Learn it. Do it. Only be thou strong and very courageous, but that thou mayest observe to do according to thy law. Jesus said, Matthew 7, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Earlier he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, we're approaching the landing strip. I hope I laid the case this morning. We are infected by this world's thinking, philosophies and rudiments, traditions of men. As much as we like to think I'm a pretty good Christian, the truth of the matter is we get affected or infected by this world's junk. Why? Because it's day and night. The only time it shuts off is when I sleep, I guess. And then as soon as you get up and throughout the day, Satan's just throwing it at you, throwing it at you, throwing it at you. Media, television, movies, advertisements, the radio, everywhere, people's opinions. It can affect our thinking if we're not careful. The only way to wash that out, we need good brainwashing, amen? The only way to wash that out is to be in Scripture. Large doses of Scripture. Just think about this. You watch, let's say you stay up tonight, you watch television for 4 hours. In the morning you read 30 minutes of Bible. 4 hours, 30 minutes. What's going to have the upper hand in my brain? You see, it's just logic. If I'm going to cancel out that 4 hours of television, I'm going to have a pretty good dose of Scripture. I may not have to sit for 4 hours and read, but the good thing about Scripture is it's concentrated. It's time released. Amen. I like that. So we're infected by this world. We desperately need a transformation, a renewal, a renovation in our minds. We need a good brainwashing. Yesterday I was teaching a discipleship lesson to Eugene and Leanne. The close of the lesson had this little statement. I'll share it with you and we'll be done. And the lesson was on salvation, but somehow toward the end it was talking about the importance of the Bible in our lives, and it said this, that once we're saved and we begin reading the Bible, then the Bible should govern, listen to this, it should govern our attitudes, it should govern our actions, and it should govern our associations. This book should dictate to me my attitude or my beliefs, how I think about things. What's this say? Preacher preached along this line last Sunday, I guess. Doesn't matter what people are saying, what does this say? Doesn't matter what the world believes, what does this say? This needs to govern my attitude. Needs to govern my actions, and it needs to govern my associations. Who do I hang out with? My best friend isn't somebody who's lost. My best friend needs to be a Christian. Hello? Now we work with people that are lost. Sometimes we have friends that are lost. We're praying for them, hoping they'll get saved. We witness to them maybe. But you know, my closest associations are Christians. And they believe how I believe. We're on the same page. Why? Because we read the same book. Amen. All right. Well, I hope I didn't sound like a doting mother this morning. You know you need to read the Bible. You probably know you don't read enough. You probably came to church this morning and didn't even read it this morning. And when I read the Scripture here, that was the first you had. For some of you, it might have been the first you had all week. Now, friends, I want to invite you, if that's you this morning, come down and tell Jesus that tomorrow morning, or don't wait till tomorrow morning, do it today, later today or tonight, I'm going to read my Bible. For some of you, it might be the first time. Don't be ashamed. We all start somewhere. If you're reading none, I don't expect you to go to 5 chapters from 0 to 5. That's not going to happen. But you can read a few verses and over time increase it so that word begins to change the thinking. You say, oh, I read that. I, I used to think this. I thought it was okay to think that way, but the Bible says differently. So I need to change that thinking. I hope someone will make a covenant with God today to get in the Bible, really get into it. If you're serious about that, come down to an old-fashioned altar. Nobody's going to think anything about it. Nobody's going to say, oh, they went down to the altar. They must not be reading their Bible. No, we don't think that way around here. Just come and tell the Lord, I want to read my Bible. I want to be changed in my thinking. I want to be a changed man. I want to be a changed woman. I want to have that renovation. Just like the before and after of that old house.